Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks to all our listeners out there for joining us today.
Have you enjoyed the weather this week?
I have.
It's been up and down and up and down and a little bit of rain here.
Yeah, but just a little
Welcome
bit cooler.
Welcome to Minnesota, though.
And I'm okay with that, being that I'm, you know, very pregnant.
That's true. What's your due date?
August 27th.
We will keep you in prayer.
We're in the home stretch. Yes,
all right.
Sir. Thank you. And today we've got a great show for y'all. In Answering the Call, we'll talk with a local young leader live from World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Plus, Father John Paul Erickson explains plenary indulgences for the year of faith.
And we'll hear from local Catholics about why it's important for men to come together with one another for fellowship and faith building.
But we'll start the show as usual with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Good morning. Good morning.
Tell me what's going on. What's in the news?
Well, of course, World Youth Day is the big news, I think.
I would think that would be at the top of your list.
It's certainly in full swing. And earlier this week, we received an email from a youth named Daniel from central Minnesota who wanted to let us know about the friendliness and the wonderful hospitality they've received from the Brazilians since arriving there. And one of the first places his group visited was that iconic Christ the Redeemer statue that overlooks the city.
Of course.
And he talked about how awesome that was. And, of course, everyone is also excited to spend time with Pope Francis on his first trip back to his native Latin America since becoming Pope.
Right.
And he's had a packed schedule since arriving in Rio last Monday. He said he wanted to be close to the people on this trip, and that has certainly been the case so far. And I think maybe as evidenced on his arrival when the crowds just mobbed
his car, maybe
to the consternation of officials responsible
for security,
exactly.
Right.
But, yesterday he visited with some Argentinians and urged them, like himself, to go out into the streets and share their faith with the whole world. And then he greeted and spoke to about a million youth on Copacabana Beach, urging them to, as he said, put on Christ in their lives. And, earlier in the day yesterday, he went to visit a neighborhood in a Rio slum where he talked about the problem of corruption and what he called a culture of selfishness and individualism, and talked about the need for a culture of solidarity among, everyone. And as we've come to expect with the Holy Father, he kind of went off script then and went into one of the houses in the slum and spent about 15 minutes inside there greeting and talking to all the people. So,
well, this is not a new thing for Pope Francis.
No, not
We're
at all.
Learning. That's
not
how he does
all.
It.
And he's been packing a lot of extra things into his schedule here. And today he'll hear young people's confessions and visit with some prisoners and participate in the Stations of the Cross with the youth. And, that big World Youth Day prayer vigil and final mass with the Pope are set for this weekend. And those are going to be held on the beach because that's a change of venue because of the heavy rain fallen there the last few days made the original site for those events pretty much a muddy mess. So.
And crocodiles.
That's what I heard about those. And,
that would not be fun.
No. And organizers, are still expecting a couple million people for both events, so that's wonderful. And, of course, a number of youth and young adults from the Archdiocese are there, and we'll be talking to them about their experience and writing about it when they come back to the States. And so in the meantime, folks can stay updated on the latest World Youth Day news at on our website, thecatholicspirit.com.
And that final World Youth Day Mass this Sunday will be heard on Relevant Radio Live at about 7:45 a.m.
Excellent.
Now, you have some news about a gentleman from Forest Lake. This is interesting.
He is from St. Peter Parish there, and he was inspired to do something quite unique after reading Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Catholicism, the one that we all received around Christmas time from our parishes. And the man, Daniel Ranke, is walking from Oregon across the country to Virginia Beach, Virginia. That's about 3,000 miles. To encourage other people to take their faith more seriously and to listen to what God is asking them to do with their lives. That's how he was motivated. And for his part, he's using his long journey to listen to God to figure out what vocation he's being called to.
Mm-hmm.
So he started his walk on May 5th, and he hopes to finish it by mid-August. And he's calling his journey Cross America. And it's kind of a little interesting story there. It's because his dad and a couple of his uncles, when they were young men like Daniel, they built a boat and sailed down the Mississippi from the top of the country here to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel, who's going from west to east, is finishing the cross that the other men began. So he's had some wonderful stories. He's met some great, generous people along the way who've shown him a lot of hospitality, and he's blogging about his experience on the road, and folks can read about his whole story and get a link to the blog in next week's issue of the Catholic Spirit.
I hope he has good shoes.
Yeah, or a few good pairs of shoes.
It'll take several.
I'm picturing a beard like Forrest Gump.
Exactly.
And what's next?
Yeah, we also have a great event coming up next month in the Archdiocese here, and it's an evening of reflection at the St. Paul Seminary, August 15th, on the 25th anniversary of Blessed John Paul II's letter on the dignity and vocation of women. And it includes a panel discussion, and one of the presenters there is Dr. Deborah Savage, who teaches at the seminary. And we have Dr. Savage with us this morning to talk a little bit more about the event and the letter. So good morning, Dr. Savage.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit more about this event that's coming up at the seminary?
Sure, of course. It was conceived and organized by the Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture, which is a think tank at the University of St. Thomas, organized about 11 years ago, I guess now, to respond to John Paul II's call for a more explicitly Christian feminism. We're sort of uncomfortable with the word feminism, but he encourages us to use it. And so we've been working together for many years, writing and researching and thinking about such things. And every year we have symposia or events like this to explore those questions and topics with anyone who wishes to come. Of course, it's open to everyone. But we found there's a huge response on the part of women, especially in the Archdiocese and, in fact, the world, really, to this call that John Paul II sounded actually in Evangelium Vitae. So it's become really clear that women really hold the key in many ways to the recovery of our culture. And what's astonishing is how few women, even faithful Catholic women, really are aware of the incredible teaching of the Church on the dignity and vocation of women. And John Paul wrote extensively on that topic. And really, Mary is the prototype, but we are all called to follow her in that regard. So,
who else is going to be on that panel?
Yeah, Dr. Mary Lemons, a colleague of mine at St. Thomas, as well as Mrs. Gina Bauer. Gina has a particular ministry to young women, and so she's going to be speaking about the spirituality embedded in the document. And Bishop Lee Pichet will be saying Mass prior to the panel discussion.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to attend, what do they need to do?
They just need to show up, actually. There's no pre-reservations required or anything like that. We'll have Mass in the St. Mary's Chapel first at 6 o'clock, and then we'll walk over to the Brady Education Center for the panel discussion. There'll be a little reception there with lemonade and so on, and then we'll get started. And there'll be time for questions and so on.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Savage. Folks can read details about the event in next week's Catholic Spirit as well. We'll have an article about it in that issue of the paper.
Finally, you have a book review.
Yeah, we'll be featuring a review next week of a new book co-written by Cardinal Donald Worrell of Washington, D.C. and Mike Aquilina. And the book is called The Church, Unlocking the Secrets to the Places Catholics Call Home. And folks may know previously this pair co-wrote a book about the Mass, but in this one they look at the church building, the setting for Mass and prayer. And it's really meant to deepen Catholics' understanding of the meaning and the history of the features of a typical church so they can have a deeper prayer experience. I've had a chance to skim through the book. I haven't been able to read it entirely yet, but it's just what I've seen. It's just a great book, and we have a review from Catholic News Service. It's a very positive one, and and I think it's a book that I think a lot of people would be interested in. So
sounds fascinating. Yeah. Cardinal Worrell is brilliant, of course.
He's a great teacher. So we'll have more about the book in next week's paper as well.
That's awesome. All in the August 1st issue of the Catholic Spirit.
That's
coming
right.
up yet.
That's right. Next week, and then we look ahead to our Leading with Faith special issue coming up after that.
So that's right.
Always a highlight.
Oh, looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Joe, as always.
Yep, have a great weekend.
You too. And a reminder that we regularly hear from Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com. And we'll hear from Joe again a little later in the show in an interview about some exciting youth programs happening here in the Archdiocese.
And we'll check on a major global youth event happening right now in Answering the Call. We'll talk with a local youth leader attending World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Find out why so many make this special pilgrimage and what it means for the church.
Plus, plenary indulgences for the Universal Year of Faith Explained. We'll talk with Father John Paul Erickson to get answers to the most common questions, and it's all coming up on the Rediscover Hour.
This is Carrie Becker, owner of Becker Building and Remodeling. I'd like you to meet Dave and Christine. Our crew had fun updating their kitchen.
I love this house, but this kitchen has to go. 16 years later, I finally got to remodel the kitchen.
I did hear Carrie's ads on Relevant Radio. In today's economy, there's always kind of that trepidation. Is somebody going to take advantage of me? And when we worked with Carrie, we realized that wasn't going to be a problem.
Everything was perfect. I couldn't wait to move in.
We've helped dozens of Relevant Radio listeners with kitchens, additions, and new homes. From design to build, we can handle all of the details.
If you're sitting on the fence, just call Carrie up, talk to him.
I love having a place to put everything. The way the kitchen was before, I had makeshift shelves in the corner. I had pots and pans sort of on the counter and on the stove, and everything has a spot now.
Carrie Becker, owner, Becker Building and Remodeling, 612-363-0493. Keep on listening to Relevant Radio and keep the faith.
Trust Carrie. Trust Becker Building.
Just want to.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And you can't look online without seeing coverage for the World Youth Day
in Brazil.
It's just
the huge event going on right now, the Catholic Woodstock, as it were.
That's a good way to put it. And I was actually reading somewhere from the Catholic Herald online the Pope's full address on that Copacabana beach, which I guess they're now calling Popacabana.
Popacabana, yeah.
It's kind of catchy. I like it.
I don't know if Barry Manilow would sing it that way, but
it works though.
Sure.
And from his homily during that prayer session, he talks about the words that they're using, that the kids and everyone, I guess, are using in their pilgrimage to Brazil. It's botafé, meaning put on faith. And he explains that, you know, put on means to place on top or to pour over. So you put on the faith in your life and it will take on a new flavor, putting on hope, putting on love, and putting on Christ.
What a beautiful image, taking on a new flavor.
I loved that too. And that was probably one of my favorite parts. He also asks the crowd in his greeting, I guess, initial greeting to everyone there, do you want to be my disciple? Do you want to be my friend? Do you want to be a witness to my gospel, talking about Jesus? And it's very plain, and I think the excitement there on World Youth Day has just got to be amazing.
I've been
rain and all.
Finding it interesting how the Holy Father has kind of had to accede to the wishes of the security team.
Well, you got to think, and there's so many people around, and it's probably not as safe to just go your own route always.
3 million, I heard last.
That's what I heard, too. And just, you know, the rain and everything these kids and the youth are going through in their pilgrimage, it's just, they're sleeping on beaches. It's just got to be amazing to be there.
Absolutely.
And we will actually hear more about that from
right now.
from a friend of ours named Travis. Yeah, they say that, like we said earlier, 2.5 million, I heard 3 million young people are gathered in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil for World Youth Day, and several groups come right here from Minnesota.
And Travis Nelson, youth minister from St. Anne in Hamel, is leading one of those groups. He joins us on the phone from Rio right now. Hello, Travis.
Hey, Paul and Corey, how are you?
Hey, Travis, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice, too, from such a long way away.
It's amazing.
Somebody speaking Minnesotan.
So, okay, tell us, how many of you are there and what's going on right now?
From our group, we have 17 representing St. Anne's and also a few other local parishes from the Archdiocese that joined our group. So we have 17 people. For the bigger events, I know at the opening mass, they said a million kids or a million youth. So other than that, I haven't heard any other numbers, but definitely a lot of excitement, and they're just loving it, having a blast, and learning a ton about their faith. So we're really overjoyed that they're taking in so much.
Describe the scene where you're standing right now. And what are you looking at?
What time is it there?
Yeah. It is 11:15 about.
Okay.
And I'm actually standing in at our parish, our host parish, right now. And so you can hear a lot of the traffic around here. So we are just about to leave to get on the metro to head down to Copacabana Beach to get ready for the Stations of the Cross later tonight. We want to get a good spot tonight, so we're heading down a little early.
Perfect. And then, so you'll do that tonight, and then will you guys go to the closing mass on Sunday?
Yes.
Is that in the plans?
That's been switched. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah, we did. The floods.
Okay.
Yeah, and the crocodiles.
Yeah.
We'll be listening for your voices because that closing mass will be broadcast live on Relevant Radio this Sunday.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Our group missed it in Madrid, so I'm really hoping that we can get in this year and be able to celebrate the mass with the Pope.
Do you have to camp there overnight just to maybe make it, or how does that work?
Well, because this is Plan B, they don't have a lot of logistics figured out, especially with places to go to the bathroom and drinking water and stuff like that. So right now, it sounds like they're going to allow people to sleep out on the beach, but at the same time, I've been hearing that they are thinking about just because there's not a lot of the details that we would have at Campus Fide.
Right.
There. So they're saying that there might be some safety issues there for those that do sleep out. So we're kind of in a wait mode right now.
Give us some of your impressions about the importance of World Youth Day. Why is this something that happens every couple of years or so?
You know, my experience in Toronto is the reason why I lead youth down to this. To see all the flags and to see the church alive. So it's so important for our church because I think the youth, especially in America, I feel like we don't sometimes see the enthusiasm and excitement for our Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's such a powerful experience for them to see all the flags and to see people cheering and waving their flags and just getting to know each other and wanting, I mean, we're kind of like rock stars down here. It's kind of funny. We always get the chant of USA as we walk past. So,
oh, cool.
You know, the feeling of the universal church and the greater church is just such a phenomenal thing that I just, like, I want every youth that I ever encounter to experience this. So very important, very powerful
what's,
for people to know that the church is alive and well.
And is that the one word you would use to describe it, alive or hope or energy? If you could pick one word to describe World Youth Day, what would that be?
You know, I think I'm going to say humbleness, just because our Pope says. I feel like people are just very humble and very grateful for the experience they're having here. So, humble. I just feel like people are just
wonderful.
Going with the flow and just letting things happen. It's a really unbelievable experience.
I have to ask, how close have you been able to get to the Holy Father?
Last night we were waiting for his arrival, and we got down to the beach, the Copacabana Beach. Oh, I'd say right around 2 o'clock, and he drove past around 6:37, and we were right up next to the gate. So we got some good video, good pictures, and some great flag waving. So, it almost looked like he even blessed us. As he, like, he was looking at our group. So that was a pretty cool experience for the kids.
You'll have to share that somehow with us. Is there a plan that you can share your pictures and stuff? I know we'd love to see a little bit of your experience.
Yeah, I would love to. If a video. I have a pretty decent video, I think, that
awesome.
We could upload that to their website.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great.
Look
love
forward
it.
To that.
Sure.
Well, you've prepared your youth group members physically and spiritually for this, including a 50-plus mile bike ride here in Minnesota. Do you think that preparation has made them more receptive to this event and this experience?
Yes. I think the prayer that we, in the time we spent spiritually preparing for the event was the most important. I think we really told them we got to be patient. World Youth Day is not you going to, downtown and just, and seeing a few thousand people. It's millions of people. So I think the bike ride taught them patience and also just to give them that physical grind of walking every day.
Yeah, how much have you walked?
Riding bikes, but they were sore. So just giving them that sense of kind of carrying the cross. And feeling the pain of and sacrifice that you have to put into pilgrimage like World Youth Day is.
And physically, how much have you walked since you guys have been there? I mean, has it been brutal or because of the rain? I guess they've moved some spaces, so I heard the pilgrimage won't be as long.
Yeah, the pilgrimage obviously won't be as long. We are about 26 miles away from the Copacabana beach, so our plan right now is to maybe do a semi-pilgrimage, walk a few miles. But I'd say we're estimating probably about five or six miles a day, I would think.
Okay.
The metro is always nice, too, but
And what about some experiences so far that you could share that have really touched you?
Any stories?
Yes, the kids raved. So when we got to the beach yesterday early, we kind of just lay down a few tarps and sat there, and we brought a volleyball down and a football down. So a lot of Brazilians don't, know American football.
Right.
So we were sitting on the beach, and we started throwing the football around, playing some football, playing some volleyball, and groups of people were coming up to play with us.
Oh, cool.
And so we had a pretty big group playing volleyball and just hitting the volleyball around. And the kids were just like, thank you so much for doing this. I'm like, this is what World Youth Day is all about. Yes, we get to see the Pope. Yes, we get to wave our flags and cheer and yell. But this is part of it, too, is that getting to know each other on a personal level from all over the world. They were just so blessed and thankful. The chaperone so much last night for giving them the opportunity.
What do you hope that your young people are going to bring back from Rio, if you can sum it up in 500 words or less?
That's kind of hard for me. I do get a little long-winded, but my big thing was just like I had said before. My experience at World Youth Day was it's seeing those flags, and it renewed my faith in the church. And that there are, I went when I was about 20, 21 to Toronto, and I was kind of on the last kind of thread of, hey, am I going to stay Catholic? And to see all that was just, like, unbelievable. So that's what I hope they take away, is that the church is alive, the church is well, and to be excited for the many blessings and the graces that the church offers us.
Bring some of that energy back here. That would be wonderful.
Yes, we hope to. I know the kids are excited to get home and tell all their family and friends about our experience already, but we have a few days left, and we're going to enjoy them.
Awesome. Well, we will be praying for you guys for the safe last couple days and a safe trip home.
And pray for us, too.
Oh, definitely. We've been praying for our family and friends, and so we definitely will have Relevant Radio in our prayers and the whole archdiocese.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Travis, so much.
Yeah, can I give a quick shout out to St. Anne's, the people from St. Anne's who might be listening?
Yes.
And my wife and family and some people from the Holy Family community, too, that might be listening to us in St. Louis Park.
Awesome. Will do.
Travis Nelson from St. Anne in Hamel, thanks so much for joining us from Rio.
Yes, thank you so much for calling.
We'll see you when you get back. Nearly 2.5 or 3 million youth are in Rio for World Youth Day. Please keep all the young pilgrims in your prayers.
Well, there are many signs of hope in the young people in this church from around the globe at World Youth Day to our own backyard.
And today we're sharing an encore of an interview that Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, did with Pat Millay, director of the Confirmation Program and High School Youth Ministry at St. Michael in Prior Lake. Pat and Joe discuss some exciting things Pat's youth group is doing, plus some upcoming opportunities for local young people to celebrate the faith.
Today we have a guest with us, Pat Millay, the director of the Confirmation and High School Faith Formation Program at St. Michael in Prior Lake, who knows these youth very well. So, good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Pat.
Doing well. Pat, tell us a little bit about how this pro-life club came about and maybe what kind of witness do you think it will provide for the community?
Absolutely. Well, it all started a few years ago when some of the involved youth got involved at the parish and they found that their faith was not expressed fully if it wasn't expressed in every avenue of their lives, in their family. They were bringing family members closer to the church, with their friends at school that weren't even Catholic. They've just been great witnesses to the faith for years now. But it really came to a head when we went to the March for Life with them in Washington, D.C. this past January. It was the first time that any of them had gone, and I had taken groups before, but this was a trip where I'd seen it make more of a spiritual impact on our teens than in the past. It's obviously always a great witness, and it's great to be around, you know, 500,000 young people who are all fighting for life. But a lot of these youth are really affected spiritually, and I saw a fire from them when we got home that I hadn't seen with previous trips like it. So they were just almost kind of running out of ideas of what to do. They had so much energy they didn't know where to put it all. And we had gone to a Students for Life of America conference the day after the march, and it was just such a great connection point from the passion of their faith to practical logistic ideas to witnessing that faith in the public square. So they really got fired up about this idea of starting a pro-life group at the school. And I'll be honest with you, they were prepared for more of a fight at the high school than they got.
That's what I'm most curious about, Pat. How much of a fight did you have?
Not as much as they and I were expecting, to
wow.
be frank. Prior Lake High School doesn't have a great history of being supportive of some of the Catholic morals and Catholic values that our students come in with. But one of our students, Leah, came to the meeting with the club faculty organizer to give him the petition, and she had all this documentation of other schools and different legal backings and things like that. And he basically took the form and said, "Okay, sounds good." You know,
oh, that's good.
On Friday. So I don't know if they were not willing to take that on as much of a battle or not, but. It's been a really exciting thing for them. I mean, they've gotten lots of activity with our local pregnancy center in fundraising and in having people from that pregnancy center come and speak and witness about what they have been through, what the center does. Just this morning, actually, they had a meeting where they had the mobile unit from the pregnancy center come that helps women with free ultrasounds and things like that.
That is awesome.
It's just, it's been a real blessing for our parish to see them live that out beyond the parish boundaries. But obviously, it's a blessing for the school as well. And to be honest with you, the thing that I'm most proud of out of all of it is that this year they've been really intentional about supporting and embracing some young women in that high school who are currently pregnant and bringing their pregnancies to term, giving them up for adoption. It's one thing to start a club. It's a whole other thing to put your reputation and your social standing on the line.
So brave of them.
Yeah, it's a real blessing to watch.
What a great witness they're providing. Now you're involved in some other exciting events coming up in the next several months here in the Archdiocese, one of which is Archdiocesan Youth Day on September 21st at Holy Family Catholic High School in Victoria. Give us a few highlights, if you can, of what's being planned for that day at this point.
Absolutely. It's the basic draw for a lot of the high schoolers is just the opportunity to worship, to pray, and to laugh with 2,000 people that are just like them, but that they've probably never met before, especially for some of the smaller parishes, maybe outside the cities. It's a great opportunity for them to get a sense of the big local church, that it's not just you know, maybe the seven people that come to your youth group on a Sunday night. This connects you to everyone locally here in the church. So we've got Sean Forrest coming in. He's a fantastic, nationally known speaker, musician, author. He does a lot of work with Steubenville as well, and I know he's been here around the Archdiocese for that. Maybe the highlight of last year's Youth Day will be repeated again this year, and that's the Q&A with Archbishop Neinstead. It was a real, real fun time for the youth to get to know the Archbishop a little bit better, for him to get to know the youth better from the questions that they were asking. And then there will be some really good intentional worship time of adoration, obviously Mass that day with the Archbishop, and some beautiful music that's always presented by Sonar to lead us in worship.
Right. Well, that's great. And you're also involved in helping to put together a special track for youth in, I believe, grades 7 to 10, who will be attending the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration with their families in October at the River Center in St. Paul. What are some of the things being planned for the teens at that event?
That's right. Yeah, just 3 weeks later after Archdiocese and Youth Day, we've got a great day planned for the teens at the Rediscover event in St. Paul as well. They'll be with the big group, with their parents and their families early in the day, and they'll get to hear Matthew Kelly along with the rest of their family. But then we'll take the teens to a separate track, and they'll have a chance to break down some of those themes that Matthew talks about in small groups. So they'll be able to connect those a little bit more with their personal experience, with their own faith journey. And then in the afternoon, we'll have a great kind of two-part day. Jason Everett, who's obviously internationally known for his work with the theology of the body, is going to be with us in the early afternoon after lunch to talk a little bit theology of the body, but it's really going to connect well to the idea of witnessing, which is one of the themes of Archdiocese and Youth Day, and it's obviously one of the themes of the whole Rediscover Initiative, that evangelization that they can do even while they're just in high school now. And then we'll close out the afternoon really connecting with Jesus about their call in adoration with Sonar that afternoon. So really two great events that are complementary. They're just going to add to each other and really set these youth up well for a great, great ways to witness when they leave.
Right, great. Hey, thanks, Pat, for taking the time to talk with us this morning. I know it's going to be a great event. In addition to the track for youth in grades 7 to 10, there will also be a track for children in grades K through 6. And those kids will have sessions in the morning and afternoon focusing on the theme of growing your faith, where they'll learn about prayer, the sacraments, and the saints. And then there will be sessions around sharing your faith through acts of kindness, charity, and practicing virtues. So it's a great opportunity for families to come together, share a great experience of learning more about their faith and the ways they can share it with others.
Well, obviously, many Catholic youth are on fire for their faith, and if you need more proof, Archdiocesan Youth Day 2013 on September 21st at Holy Family Catholic High School has a waiting list now. They are at full capacity with those registered already.
Youth are also invited to attend the 2013 Rediscover Catholic Celebration October 12th at the St. Paul River Center. Special youth track of programming featuring Jason Everett. Youth tickets for grades 7 to 10, $7. Find out more and register online at rediscover-faith.org. That's rediscover-faith.org, or call 651-291-4411. That's 651-291-4411 for more information.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, if you're seeking to be granted a plenary indulgence for the Year of Faith, you still have some time. Father John Paul Erickson explains what you can do to gain this special spiritual gift.
Plus, find out why local Catholics say it's important for men to come together with other men for fellowship as a special way to support their growth in the faith. It's all ahead on the Rediscover Hour. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm John Tetzloff, Advanced Case Specialist with Catholic United Financial. Let's talk about life insurance. We know it can be difficult. Maybe you've had a bad experience with robotic customer service numbers or websites. Start fresh with Catholic United. Our first question won't be how much you got. Instead, we'll show you how our financial products can complement what you already have. We use a simple fact-finding process called Unite and Grow. We'll ask how you want your Catholic faith reflected in your plan. We can even show you how life insurance can be an effective estate planning tool. Member owned for over 135 years. People helping people. Join us.
Catholic.
Who we are.
United.
What we are.
Financial.
What we do.
Catholic United Financial.
Life insurance, retirement products, IRA.
CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. In the St. Paul area, contact Mary Herons.
Feels like a brand new day, and I know I'm not the same, because I see you, and I need you, and I know I couldn't leave you if I tried.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. To help encourage prayers for a spiritually fruitful World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, Pope Francis declared a special plenary indulgence for those who attend the event's liturgies and prayer services or who follow along online in the proper spirit of prayer and contrition.
Right, and participation in World Youth Day is not the only way to gain indulgence now. You may be aware that Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI declared a plenary indulgence for the Year of Faith, which began in October last year and ends in November this year.
But you might be unclear what the requirements are to gain this indulgence. For an explanation, we're joined by Father John Paul Erickson, director of the Archdiocese's Office of Worship. Thanks for talking with us, Father John Paul.
Paul and Corey, always a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Good to have you back.
All right, explain. What is a plenary indulgence?
Yeah, I must admit, every time I speak on this topic, I get a little bit reticent, just because it's the topic of an indulgence is one that can be greatly misunderstood.
Absolutely.
I think the best way to begin, just with a little bit of background as to what an indulgence is and how we as Catholics understand it properly, is best to begin with the reality of the mystical body of Christ. We're all in this great journey of faith together. We're all in a communion of faith, hope, and love. And when we sin, we not only affect ourselves, we not only do damage to our own relationship with God, we really, in a very real sense, do damage to the body. It's important to remember when we are besieged by temptation, my faults not only affect me, they affect the whole baptized community of the church. However, not only do our faults and failures affect everyone else, so too do our good works. So too do our sacrifices. So too do our unseen acts of love and kindness. And when we fall, when we affect the whole mystical body by our faults and by our failures, the Church believes that not only is the individual Christian, each one of us is called to make amends through a life of prayer and penance and striving to seal up those bonds of communion within the Church that we've broken, but also the Church believes that we can, if you will, access the powers and the graces and the merits and the sufferings and the joys of all the saints throughout the body. We can kind of participate, you might think of, in a kind of a spiritual blood transfusion.
Yeah.
This kind of works both ways then, doesn't it?
It rebalances it, right?
That's exactly right. And so what an indulgence is, it's really a fancy word for taking, if you will, if you pardon that expression, but taking the graces and the merits, again, and the joys and sufferings of some of the saints or even our own brothers and sisters and applying them to us or to a deceased member of that body. We all know that even those who have gone before us marked with the sign of faith are still part of that body of Christ, and they too require to make amends for the damage that they have done. Well, an indulgence can be applied not only to us poor, broken sinners as we walk this pilgrimage of faith, but also can be applied to our deceased brothers and sisters who are waiting to see our Lord face to face in heaven. It's a great gift that God has given to us, these indulgences.
It seems like a kind of point system, though. I mean, you know, like you're going to get some points and I'll give you some of my points.
No, you're spot on, Corey, and that is, we have to be very careful because that can be the trap we fall into.
Uh-huh.
I think that one way that we can resist that temptation to think that way is if we remember this context of the entire body,
uh-huh.
that when we fall, when we affect others by means of our failures, there is a real need in a sense of justice to make amends for what we've done.
Okay.
Certainly we must apologize, but also the need to manifest sorrow and to show our willingness to begin again must be shown, even on the natural level, but also balancing out or fighting against the tendency to think of a point system is the notion of, again, the communal nature of the saints. We're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And if we remember that our joys and our are offering up also affect others. This sense of the community can, I think, I hope, balance out and fight against a very individualistic sense
okay.
of sin,
right.
which leads to the point system. Mm-hmm.
So how far back do indulgences go in the history of the church?
Yeah, good question, Paul. I would say all the way back to the very beginning in this sense, in the sense that our Lord gave to Peter, gave to the bishops in communion with him, the power of the keys. And part of that not only has to do with the forgiveness of sins, but also we believe that the church, again, specifically the Holy Father and those bishops in union with him, have been granted a real grace, a kind of a spiritual power to take, to bind up, if you will, the prayers of the community and to apply them to this or that member. And this phenomenon of directing the prayers of the church, have been going on since the very beginning. Certainly the church got a lot of publicity regarding indulgences in the Middle Ages.
The problem there was that they were being sold, right?
Well, that's true, although I'm quick to point out that part of the misunderstanding there, and it's true, that we need to begin by saying there's plenty of room for reform, or always room for reform and clarification. As Corey mentioned, this point system we can fall into, even just all of us individually thinking about sin in this way, which is dangerous.
Right.
But in the Middle Ages, it was possible the church had attached an indulgence to donating money for good works of the church. And so one could sacrifice a portion of one's income for service to the poor, service to the vulnerable, or it's true, building up some of the great shrines that we even attend even now. Now, as again, getting back to the point system, some people abuse that system and thought about it incorrectly, but I do think it's important to point out that part of the misunderstanding came from a legitimate exercise, and that exercise is sacrifice by which we can, again, participate in this indulgence doesn't just come about by works. It can also come about by sacrificing and sacrificing our own comfort, our luxury.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes about, of course, by financially.
Right.
And there are some fairly specific conditions attached to any indulgence. It's not just a free ticket.
There's some
rules.
You
got that right. And I think, again, it's important to remember that all of these conditions are connected to our union with the mystical body. I think that's important to remember. So, for example, not only is there a particular work that we must exercise with charity, with love, but also we must be in a state of grace. We have to make a sacramental confession, which binds us more closely with the body. We have to make a reception of Holy Communion in Mass or outside of Mass, sometime before or after the particular exercise. But we also have to pray for the intentions of the Holy Father, this particular figure who has been given this grace, again, to focus the prayers of the community, if you will. So, we are in a state of grace. We make a sacramental confession. We make a sacramental communion. We pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. And the biggie, which is we must be detached from sin. We have to be detached from any sinful lifestyles, if there's any kind of occasions of sin that we're clinging to, we have to get rid of those things. So there needs to be in our own heart a desire to begin again and to strive to be holy. That's very, very important.
And so what are there's four universal prescriptions for this year of faith.
Yes,
right?
Indeed, that's exactly right. A couple of things, and I'll point out in a particular way some of the ways that we can receive the grace of an indulgence right here in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Father, as you mentioned, Pope Emeritus Benedict, but now Pope Francis, has granted to all the bishops of the Catholic world the authority to designate pilgrimage sites within their own local churches. And here in the Twin Cities, the Archbishop has designated 10 churches that we can make a pilgrimage to and attend Holy Mass there, or even just visit the site and make some simple prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Creed. Included among that list is our own cathedral, our basilica, these beautiful churches. Attending these stations of prayer, one can receive the great grace of an indulgence. So, too, is visiting, which I find very interesting, the place where you were baptized.
I like that one. Yeah,
it's a wonderful reminder of not only, again, our own personal journey of faith, but again, the idea of the mystical body. Our baptism inserts us into a community.
Right.
And this relationship, this communion, we must take very, very seriously. So a visit to that place where we were baptized, as long as those other conditions of being in a state of grace, of making a sacramental confession, a sacramental communion, praying for the Holy Father, we can also attain a plenary indulgence by visiting the site of our baptism and renewing our baptismal promises there as well.
And I believe there is also a plenary indulgence attached to not only attendance at the World Youth Day Mass this Sunday, but also listening to it live on the radio or online.
That's exactly right. There really is a deep desire on the part of the Church to encourage not only participation in World Youth Day events in whatever way we can, but also to access this great grace for our own sake, but also the sake of our deceased brothers and sisters who are eager to see our Lord face to face in heaven.
So while we're on the subject of World Youth Day, I know you've been to, how many, Father? One?
Two, actually.
Two.
I went to Madrid, and I went to Sydney.
Give us some of your reactions to those experiences.
It really is a marvelous experience of the universal church. I mean, when I was in Madrid, I just read the numbers a couple of days ago. I think they were estimating about 1.3, 1.5 million people at the final Mass. I had the great advantage and really the great grace of being on the stage, if you will, and looking out into the congregation, which was enormous.
Wow.
And I remember very vividly seeing towards the front of this throng. It reminded me, I don't mean melodramatic, but of the Book of Revelation, the scene of the countless multitude. And I remember seeing towards the front a flag waving of China. And I remember thinking to myself, these individuals, these wonderful brothers and sisters, almost certainly have made sacrifices to come from a country where they cannot practice their faith in the open.
Right.
And yet here they are waving the banner of their nation proudly, but also surrounded by their brothers and sisters who are walking with them and praying for them together in the body. It was a marvelous experience that we are not alone. We are in this together with others. So it's both events have been great reminders to me that I'm not in this alone, and we can all think that sometimes.
Language barriers are kind of broken down at an event like that, aren't they?
They absolutely are. The language not only of piety and prayer, but also just the language of smile. You learn that language very quick, and there's nothing that brings a group together than spending the night in the rain together,
right?
That really joins us together. So you're right, language barriers do break down.
Well, thank you so much, Father Erickson, for joining us. As always, you're wonderful to have on the show.
Well, you're very kind, and may we all finish this year of faith strong.
Amen.
Father Amen. John Paul Erickson is a frequent guest here, like I said, on the Rediscover Hour, and we've set up a link to the plenary indulgence for the Year of Faith info on our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar, and a reminder to check with your parish about any upcoming lessons or a parish mission.
And a reminder, if you have a faith-related question or want to know more about a faith-related topic, let us know. Click on show ideas on the lower right side of our show page or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholic men about why it's important for men to come together in an all-male setting to grow their engagement in the faith.
Plus, we'll take a look at Catholic events in the coming weeks around the area. We'll be right back.
Recently, the National Association of Engineering named the top 20 greatest engineering accomplishments of the last century. Coming in at number 10 was air conditioning. That's ahead of space exploration, the internet, and even the toaster. DuckTech HVAC knows how a broken or poorly functioning air conditioner this time of year can affect your productivity. Another sleepless night or sticky day can bring everyone's attitude down. DuckTech cooling technicians are helping people right now with quick and reliable service or a new Armstrong cooling system for their home or office. DuckTech HVAC is supporting Relevant Radio because its business principles are the same. You'll receive fair, honest, quick service and installation. Add to that their experience in the Twin Cities, and you can call DuckTech with confidence knowing you'll be back enjoying a hot summer day in no time. That's why DuckTech HVAC recommends Armstrong for your home or office. Get personal attention to your cooling problem now by calling DuckTech Air Systems at 651 631-330-8744. 651-330-8744. Find out why DuckTech and Armstrong Air are the professional's choice.
Well, it's a new day. Oh, it's a new time. There's a new way. I'm gonna live my life. Oh, the old has passed away, and the new has come. Praise God, it's a brand new day.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with fellow Catholics and ask them a question.
Yeah, we spoke with men attending the St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission event earlier this month and asked them, why is it important for Catholic men to come together with each other and grow in the faith?
And here's how they answered.
This is Bob from Holy Trinity Parish in South St. Paul. I think at the heart of it is in the world we work in, things are so busy. People are on the go, and you can really get caught up in the secular world. And so to have an outlet of men coming together to keep one another balanced and what is most important, that's obviously, life of Christ first, I think is really the key to it.
Hi, I'm Mitch from Holy Family in St. Louis Park. Men aren't always good about showing their faith in a public way unless there are other men showing their faith in a public way. So by getting together, it kind of gives us permission to show a little bit of our faith in a public way and get us to organize probably a lot of the thoughts that we have internally. But by being in a group, it makes you feel more comfortable to express your faith openly.
I'm Aaron from St. Mark's in St. Paul. The sense of community that comes with gathering together with other men, I think, is the most important outcome. It's the best part of gathering together. Just the example that you provide for each other and that you get from everybody else.
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm from the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, Minnesota. I think it's incredibly important for men to gather together, Catholic men, primarily to sharpen each other. I actually work on college campuses. I see how desperate our culture is for men to step up and be men. I think there's a crisis right now for true brotherhood and true manhood, I guess. I think the rest of the culture is buying into a lie of what it means to be a man. And I think it's good to come outside of what the world upholds and really gather together to be vulnerable with each other, to sharpen each other, to be real with each other, so that we can be better witnesses for Christ, to be more authentic in our pursuit of holiness, because we can't do it alone.
I'm Brant from St. Lawrence in Minneapolis. We really need each other to support each other. If you're familiar with the story of St. Benedict, he was a man who said, I'm going to go and become really holy, and I'm going to go off all by myself and do this. And after doing that, he realized that you can't live the faith alone, that we actually need a community of people to help and to support each other. So St. Benedict came back and founded the Benedictines. And I think as men together, we need to be together to support each other and to encourage each other and also to call each other on to holiness, to call each other on to be saints.
And local Catholic men have several great opportunities to come together to grow in the faith coming up. The men we just heard from were at the July St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission morning gathering. And the next Men on a Mission is Friday, August 9th, featuring a talk by Super Bowl champ Matt Burke. It's from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. at the Embassy Suites in Bloomington. And the event is free, but donations to offset costs are greatly appreciated. You can email Tisoc Rosales at tizoc.rosales@spoweb.org to let him know you're coming, and we've put a link to that Men on a Mission page from our show page.
And if you have an idea for a question to ask fellow Catholics here on the Rediscover Hour, we want to hear it. There are lots of ways to reach us. Email us at therediscoverhour@archspm.org or go and click on the radio button in the top navigation bar at rediscover-faith.org and reach us through our show page, or contact us through the Relevant Radio site, relevantradio.com, keyword Rediscover.
Well, here is a quick look at some other great Catholic events taking place locally. For a few weeks now, we've been telling you about the six-pack series of Theology on Tap talks at the Glockenspiel restaurant on West 7th Street in St. Paul. And those talks are for young adults up to age 39, and they continue Wednesdays at 7 p.m. through August 14th. And this upcoming Wednesday, July 31st. Bishop Lee Pache is the featured guest speaker, and you won't want to miss that. But we also want to let you know that there is a Theology on Tap series taking place in the Northeast Minneapolis area, and it starts at 7 p.m., but these are on Tuesdays starting at August 6th. So you could hit a few of these up on back-to-back nights with the St. Paul Theology on Tap series, if you're so inclined. And the first speaker in the Northeast Minneapolis series is Father John Paul Erickson, who we just spoke with earlier on the show. And that's on Tuesday, August 6th, on the topic, Can You Prove God Exists? Next up on Tuesday, August 13th, is Father Eric Rutten on No Man is an Island, The Dangers of Radical Individualism. And these Northeast Minneapolis Theology on Tap events take place at Gastoff's on University Avenue Northeast. Talks are free, food and beverages aren't. Sounds like some fun, faith-filled evenings for us younger folks.
And another fun, faith-filled event for the whole family. Come to Family Fun Day, part of the series of parish festival events at the Church of the Holy Family in St. Louis Park. Here are details. It takes place Saturday, August 10th, 1:30 to 10 p.m. Outdoor activities, inflatables, field games, basketball, outdoor food, beer tent, silent auction, chicken dinner, music by J.C. and the Wise Guys. To find out more, visit hfcmn.org or call 952-929-0113. That's 952-929-0113. 0113.
And coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour and Answering the Call, we'll have a very special extended interview with internationally known speaker, author, and theologian, Father Robert Barron.
We'll talk with Father Barron about the opportunities here and globally for the church. We'll talk about calling Catholics back to the faith and about his new video series coming out in the next few weeks. We'll talk about a whole lot more.
And you won't want to miss this special show on August 2nd, the Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.